just a few words tonight, and I'm primarily speaking to Ori this evening. And there's so much to say, and I have to be careful. I value your time, and I don't want to go over. And the amount of material to speak at something like this is, because this is a living book and it's an eternal book, it's inexhaustible. But you got to land somewhere. And my mind's been filled with these things for a couple days now. If you have a Bible and you want to turn to Acts chapter 13, I'll launch from there and then just give you some thoughts tonight, and primarily again to Ori. And I think it, just to pronounce the name has been a struggle for me the last couple days, but I got it. It's Oreo minus the O, in case you were wondering, all right? So just think of an Oreo, and you take the O out, and you got Ori. That's what he told us, so I'm not trying to mock him or anything like that. That's what he's been telling kids for the last year, all right? Because they were white, like, what? What's your name? Can we just call you Bill? Like, something like that, right? But we'll speak to him, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you all and to, again, Bible Believers Baptist Church. You know, thankfully, you're going through this process. And, you know, your heart is torn, right? You're not getting rid of the Taves. Some churches, it seems like they're doing that. Like getting rid of, but you're not getting rid of them. You're sending them. And, you know, so you're excited. Woo! We're fulfilling the commission of God. But you like them. I mean, how can you not like Eloise? And Max. And Emma. How can you? How can you not like that singing? Right? Right. You're going to miss that. But that's part of the deal. It's part of the deal. It's part of the good deal. And here in Acts chapter 13, there's the churches assembling, and there's some leadership assembling here. Really some faithful men. That's really what it comes down to. These guys aren't special men. They're faithful, laboring men. And the Bible says here in Acts 13:1, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manigan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Saul's going to be the guy, by the way, we eventually call Paul. Right? So if I say Paul, you're going, I thought it was Saul. It is. And he says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And these men, in particular, Barnabas and Saul, they're in the church. They're ministering to the Lord. They're being faithful. That's what they're just faithful men. I'll look back at chapter 11 and verse number 30. The Bible says, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. There's others, but Barnabas and Saul are going to kind of be the ones that are going forth here. And where they began here in this portion of scripture, they got some money to help out, and they thought, well, we're going to give it to these men. You don't give money to give to people to unfaithful men. The Lord says, if you can be faithful in the least, you can be faithful in the much. And so here he does. He trusts them with that, and they fulfill that, and they're faithful men. They're men who are fulfilling the task at hand. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 24. The Bible says, but the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Again, they're fulfilling. They got a task here. We're going to do this. We're going to deliver this money. That was our ministry. We're going to meet the need over here. And that's what we're going to, fulfill it. We're not just going to start it. We're going to fulfill it. And we see the spiritual nature of all of this. They're fasting. That's to go without food and or water for a period of time to highlight prayer and to beseech the Lord. And they're doing that. And the Lord seeing their ministry, right? Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. See? And a lot of times we like to point out that he sees all the bad. He does. But never forget that the Lord sees all the good. Be reminded of that, that the Lord sees your good. Ori and Lizzie and their family are going to an island. It's not a big island. Try, if you haven't looked for it on the map yet, which I think most of you have, try to find it. It's like a dot on a dot with the tiny little flick on it, fleck on it. I mean, it's just a speck out there in the ocean, right? And it's truly living on an island. But God sees it, doesn't he? God sees you. God's watching you. He says, seeing their ministry, separate these two. Set these two aside. I have some work for them to do. They've been working. They are ministering. They're in the ministry. They're fulfilling the ministry. And God says, I got some work for them to do. And the church, by fasting and praying, and we were talking in the office before, some of that's already been going on. Right? Tonight is soup night. Tonight's not fast night. Now, if you are fasting, we won't judge you. That's not the point of that thing. That's praise the Lord. Thank you. God bless you. But tonight's soup night. And the church has already put fasting and prayer. I'm sure that this church would put more fasting and prayer into it. Why? Because the ministry needs that. And they lay their hands on these men and they obey the Lord's command and they send them away. That's what we did this evening. It's just following a pattern here in the scripture. I was at a restaurant one time and I was at a golf course and I was at the restaurant and I popped my head into the restaurant and I gave the gal that was tracked. She was behind one of the server windows and she said, no thanks, I don't do organized religion. And sometimes I can be sarcastic. And so I popped my head in there and I said, do you do disorganized religion? Right? I mean, aren't you glad when you came in this evening that, I mean, all the chairs were in order? That's a blessing, right? That you didn't just have to go grab a chair out in the foyer and then set it somewhere. What a tangled mess that would be. But just order, right? There was order to the service. There's order to this place. There's clearly order here. And there's order in sending. God sets the church. And God, by the way, loves order. That's all throughout the scriptures. He says, let all things be done decently and in order. And so this order continues. And the ministry continues. The ministry to the Lord at Antioch will continue. The ministry to the Lord in Antioch in Acts chapter 13 continues. The ministry to the Lord at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi doesn't stop tonight. I would say, actually, that the Lord launches some things that you can't see. That's been the case at Heritage Baptist Church in Post Falls. That when we send guys out, we don't expect it. God doesn't have to bless in the way that he blesses and bringing other servants in and bringing other laborers in and bringing other souls in. Doesn't have to, but he always does. And maybe I'm wrong there, because the Lord does say it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. God's blessing just showers down on the churches that send. God's blessing comes as you get under that spigot, but when you send and you follow this commission, God blesses. The work at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus does not stop, but Ori and Lizzie are going to be sent. And they are going to be an extension for the work as they depart to the work. And the ministry is the work. The ministry is the work, and the work is ministry. The ministry is the work, and the work is ministry. What do you mean ministry? It's the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. It is the ministry of the Word of God. That's what the ministry is. And it's been, by some changed and whatnot, but that's what the ministry is. That's a scriptural, biblical ministry. We see right down there in verse number 5 that as they were sent, they preached the Word of God. Why? Because that was the work. Ministry is the work, and the work is ministry. And tonight I want to just say, first of all, that the work takes grace. Takes grace. Look at chapter 14 and verse number 26. It says, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. It's just they're recommended to that grace. And the work takes grace. The ministry is a work of grace. It's not your grace. It's God's grace. It's God's grace. When I think of God's grace, I think of where sin abounded, a grace did much more abound. God's grace is abounding. You know, sin has just a way of crossing a lot of boundaries, doesn't it? We call them trespasses. God calls them trespasses. Goes over a lot of boundaries. It's like sin just keeps on taking a little more ground and a little more ground. You know what God's grace does? It goes a little bit further. Why? Why? Because God's in the saving business. And, you know, sometimes people go, I've done this, and I don't know that God could save me because I've done this or I am this, but God can save you. And God does still save. And the work takes grace, not your grace. You might be a gracious person. And we run into gracious people all the time. By the way, all grace is of God. All grace is of God. But some people submit to it more. And it's God's grace, and God's grace is God's salvation. And the Bible calls the gospel of Jesus Christ the gospel of the grace of God. The fact that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures that we might have eternal life is the grace of God. It's the gospel. It's the good news of the grace of God. God's grace is God's word. The scriptures are called the word of his grace. Brother Ori mentioned how that you've got to stay close to him, and you got to stay there. And one way that we stay close to the Lord is through his word. Right? I mean, no joking aside, there's several thousand text messages for you right here. Some of you need to open your inbox. Right? Didn't you know they used to be on scrolls? Stop the scroll and open the book. You know what you find in here? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so much more. It's the word of his grace. It's the word of his sufficiency. We're in a missions conference. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You need God's grace. The work takes grace. Ori and Lizzie are going to do a great work, a work of God. And that good work, that great work, is going to take God's grace. And God's sufficiency will be, God's grace is sufficient. Paul was beseeching the Lord, and the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace is sufficient for thee. The work takes grace. We commend you this evening, and we send you by God's grace and to his grace. The work takes grace. The work takes, number two, preparation. much of the preparation has been completed. And yet, there's much more preparation ahead. I would compel you this evening to continue in preparation for the work whereunto you are called. To prepare in a general sense, I mean, I don't know that we have to define prepare, but it means to fit or adapt for a particular purpose. To fit you or adapt you to a particular purpose. Salvation was your first step in your preparation. You became a child of God. It's awesome. October of 2012. October 21st? Praise the Lord. That's the best day of his life. Right? I mean, just the best day of his life. The best day of your life is the day you get saved. Praise the Lord. I mean, going to heaven beats going to hell every day of the week. Always. And, but then you submitted to discipleship. Discipleship has been preparation. And your pastor and this church are excellent in their discipleship work. It's not just a book. Right? A book is just a foundational tool. It's a process. It's a conversation. It's a day-by-day thing. And there's been hours and hours of discipleship that have been preparing you for today. Deputation's been preparation, hasn't it? A missionary, for those that don't know, in our, are we a denomination? Sure. In order to raise support, they go from a church to a church to a church to a church. They get to travel the United States of America for anywhere from 1 year to 2.5 years. They get to see the whole United States of America and live out of a van. They get to eat in people's homes that they don't know, with foods that they don't like, and get to be in church for 6 nights a week. Welcome to the missions. I mean, I just say all that in jest a little bit. That's all true. But some people are like, oh, you get to travel the United States. And you do. And you got to see some amazing things. We talked about it. I mean, just, you got to meet some amazing people. You got so much valuable input into your life. If three people pray for you out of that year, it was worth it. Right? You hear sometimes the missionary go, "We more than anything, we need your prayer." Do you know why they say that? Because more than anything, they need your prayer. But you got so much more than that. It was part of the preparation. That's one reason why it's called deputation. And God is and God has been preparing you for what he has prepared for you. See? Proverbs 24:27 says, "Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field." The field is the world. The field is for the Taves, Reunion Island. And then he says, afterwards, build thine house. And it's just, it's preparation. You don't even know sometimes you're being prepared and you're being prepared, right? Every one of us in life, not just the ministry, but in life, we're in situations today and we look back and we go, well, I learned that when I was five, but I didn't think I was learning that when I was five. Or I had this experience when I was 12 or when I was 20 or when I was... And God's preparing you. God puts you through things. And the record books of history and the Bible show those to be very true. I think about the Apostle Paul sitting at the feet of Gamaliel and learning the law and learning those things. I think about his boldness in persecuting the church and how God just flipped that thing all on its head and used him to be the zealous, bold preacher for the church. I mean, and just again, the testimonies are countless, but preparation is a continual process. And preparation is the getting of and setting of the tools to aid and abet in the work. Just getting those tools, and you're setting them, and you're learning how to use them a little bit, and You mess up, but that's part of the preparation. You cut yourself, you hurt yourself, you hurt others sometimes. That's part of the preparation. And God's preparing you. And you are preparing thy work. It's God's work. It's God's work. It's God's work. And much of what you'll continue to be doing is preparation for greater work. I say that as I was considering these things, and just as far as setting a foundation, and your pastor and others have helped you with this, but setting that foundation, not for the greater work. God will have, I believe God's got a greater work, but because that foundation and those principles of the Word of God are so very important, right? Building upon the rock and not upon the sand. And setting forth that milk. And one day then setting forth some meat. But the milk first. And wanting to give the meat. But understanding that the milk is very important. And we never leave the milk. You never leave the milk. But sometimes you give milk and meat. Right? I'm not a milk drinker, but I still drink milk. Or milky things. Like milkshakes. Right? But having some meat, that's steak and shake. You already have the culture. You already have the language. Wow. Praise the Lord. But your wife and your children are going to need some help. I mean, we've talked about these things already in the office and prior to that in personal conversations, but that ministry of preparation for them is very important. And prepare thy work with that. And make it fit for thyself in the field. Relationships. Those are going to be important. It's preparatory work. Study. I feel like you don't know it all. I know that. But you have experienced much already with these relationships. And it's a blessing. I know you don't take that for granted. You're not that type of person. But build on those and continue to build those. Study. Keep studying. Keep studying. Keep your nose in the book. It's preparation. The Bible says about all that, you are an epistle. Known and read of all men. And so the preparation is continual, constant, and important. Failure to prepare is preparing to fail. And I compel you to prepare. The work takes preparation. Number three, the work takes work. Takes works. Commit to good works. You're in Acts 13. We saw verse number 5. They preached the word. Look at verse number 10. He says, "Thou, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord?" I mean, some things are easier than others. Right? I mean, you got to resisting the devil here. That's necessary. By the way, the devil's real, right? We get that? Right? Sometimes we get this idea of this cute little creature. He's not cute, but he is a creature. I grew up in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. The football team, the school mascot was the Satans. Okay? So our team was the Satans, so it would go like this. S-A-T-A-N-S. Let's go, Satans. For the Satans. And we had this mascot, the football players, because it was a guy's football team, which should be. And just we had a mean looking devil on our jerseys. Yeah. The girls' basketball team, they had this cute devil. He even wore a diaper. Like he just had this little diaper on, his tail went out the back of that thing, and just, he's cute. But he's not. I mean, I just say that because it's something like, it's all like people are like, he's real. And and by the way, we've talked about the islands. The islands are the islands. We live in this great country, the United States of America. And the gospel light is still very, very much shown. right? I'm pretty sure there's no Bible billboards in Reunion Island. Right? Probably not a lot of Bible radio or Bible preachers. See, well, they're Bible. And the Bible is the Bible. And I'm just saying the work takes works. And you're going to have to resist the devil. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, you're going to have to be bold. Look at Acts 13, look at verse number 52. This is very, very important. And the disciples were filled with what? Joy. You're going to have to be joyful. You know what the work is? Joy. Remember that. Hey, you're in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords has said, I'd like you to work for me. Yeah, that's weighty, but man, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, every saint has that on them to a degree, right? But this is a man that's called and I work for the rich man. I work for the, it's a good thing. Remember that. It's good to be here. Be joyful. Chapter 14, look at verse number 8. It's just work. The work takes works. There sat a certain man at Lystra and impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked, and Paul heals them, and we get that. But I mean, help the lame. Help those who are feeble. Help those who are in need. Yeah, the gospel is our goal, but you can help them and not always give them the gospel every time. Hey, the goal is to get them the gospel. But help. Why? Because they're people. And they need help. Verse 15, look at chapter 14, look at verse 15. And saying, sirs, why do you these things? We are also men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Hey, I'm just saying, stay humble. Paul didn't receive the godly praise here, or ungodly praise, if you would, of these Gentiles here. Hey, just stay humble. We say that it should never be hard for us to stay humble. Like, smell your feet. That was crude. I'm sorry. All right. But you get it. All right? Just stay humble. The work takes the work of humility. And then look at chapter 14, verse number 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. I mean, just what are they doing? They're just keeping the work going. The work takes good works. Your call to Reunion Island is important, but your commitment to the Lord and to His work is greater. Jesus said, I must work, I must, I must, I must, I must work the works of Him that sent me. Right, that's why you're there. That's why you're there. The work takes cooperation. The work takes cooperation. Teamwork makes the dream work. Or it will become a nightmare. You got to work with people. And they got to work with you. Right? And you're not always the easiest person to work with. I mean, you might be, but some days you're not. And that's coming from someone who knows all about that. Like, working with people doesn't come natural to me. Every report card that I had from kindergarten to fifth grade says he talks too much and he doesn't work well with people. Let's put this guy in the ministry. So you got to work on it. And you got to work on taking, on cooperating. My brothers and I went hunting in 2023, and we went southwestern Montana, and it wasn't a good year for us to hunt, but we had a good time. And Daniel and I, you know, we were communicating beforehand, let's make sure that we have these supplies. All right. One of them was, okay, if we get a flat tire, okay, and we got to have plugs, and we got to have a compressor. And so we didn't really say who's bringing what, Well, we got up on a hill, and all of a sudden, Daniel's little indicator on his truck was saying he had a low tire. And then we got out, and we can... Well, that's not good when you're out and... We're nowhere, but far enough that we don't want to walk, which might be to that wall back there. But, I mean, I'm just saying. And so Daniel's like, he had his plugs, his tire plugs. And I had a compressor. And got it, plugged it in. You're the tire. You're too pretty to be a tire. You're the tire. And, you know, you just, so if we got it to the tire, now we pulled it out of the plug. David had a 5-foot extension cord in the back of his truck. Remember that? 5 or 6 foot, just because everybody carries a 5 or 6 foot extension cord. Like, usually, right? Usually, if you have a 5-foot extension cord, you're like, what is this good for? Well, it's good if you're on the side of a hill and you have a flat tire and you have a plug and you have a compressor and you need to plug that thing in. So, why do I say all that? Cooperation. Just teamwork makes the dream work. You got to work with people. You know, your first person you got to work with is that beautiful young lady sitting there to your right. And that's kind of Paul, Silas. Maybe Aquila and Priscilla would be better. She's not the assistant pastor. She's not. We know that. You don't need that. But someday you'll find someone. You'll find a Timothy. You'll find a Titus. It might be even Paul and Barnabas. That worked out pretty good for a while. And then it didn't. But you know what each one of those guys did? They got another one. Because there's this principle in the Bible that two are better than one. Right? It's amazing in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, the Lord's actually talking about Israel and their problems, and he says, one shall chase 1,000, and two will chase 10,000. Like, not just double, 10 times. And you got to learn to work with people. The work takes cooperation, and lastly, the work takes rest. It's like, man, he hasn't even gotten off here. We're already talking about a break. Yep. The work takes rest. You will continue in the work by resting. And the Lord gave us this principle on the first one or two pages of the Bible that we've been violating ever since. And you have to learn to rest. And you'll be just getting started on that island. And a year will pass quickly. I mean, it's going to be just like life in general. As you get older, it's just gone. Learn to rest. Christ said this. He said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. That desert place is more solitude, right? It's not Mojave or Sahara. It's just solitude. And you're gonna have to find that and learn that. We talked about that in the room. Learn to rest. A book that helped me, and a chapter that helped me greatly in this is "Lectures to My Student" by C.H. Spurgeon, and he wrote a chapter in there called "The Preacher's Fainting Fits." It's ministry specific, and it'll be helpful to you. You are a spirit, and you're a soul, and you're a body. These three are one. That's what you are. And we know you care for your body. Praise the Lord. That's the vessel that God has given you. But you're going to have to learn to rest those things. And each one affects the other. And even God rested and was refreshed on that seventh day. And you're going to have to learn how to take rest and find rest with your family. And so this evening, we commend you to the work. And we follow the lineage of our Savior. We don't trace it all the way back, but we find our place. And Jesus to his disciples said, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Those men went out and they did their thing, and some other guys went out and they did some things, and they moved all the way over here to Texas one time, and this guy started this church in a barn? Bunkhouse. Well, it gets exaggerated, right? And a bunkhouse, and here we are. And so even so, send we you. And the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you.